Well, Adam Pengilly's going to join us on the phone to talk some racing. Morning, Adam.
Morning, boys. How you going?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. How was your Australia Day weekend?
Yeah, fantastic. Really good, guys. Enjoyed watching a few races over the weekend. Would have liked a few more winners, to be honest. And took in a bit of tennis as well. So, yeah, it was a good weekend.
Yeah, I know you love your sport. What about the news yesterday of the passing of Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, Laurie, just terrible news. I'll be the first to admit I'm not a massive buckets or basketball fan, but Kobe is the type of guy that just transcended sport, didn't he, really? Transcended his own sport. If you didn't follow basketball, you still knew who he was and his achievements in the sport. He was just watching him from afar over his career. He just seemed like such a determined guy, such a silky shot. He's just a terrible, terrible tragedy. And you know, for his daughter to be on that helicopter with him and other people is just shocking news. It's still quite hard to comprehend, really.
Now, what about the rumour? We had a rumour on Friday that Peter Moody had taken up some boxes at Pakenham and he was going to return to training. Well, it's one of these rumours that lobbed.
The drums were beating, weren't they, Dave, late last week? And I think Peter was quite keen to sort of keep them under wraps for a while. I don't think he was quite ready to sort of go with the announcement that he was back to training. But once the cat was out of the bag, I think there's no point denying it anymore. So Moods is going to be back in the saddle in the not-too-distant future. I don't think, guys, he's going to get to the scale of what he used to train with at the Halcyon Black Caviar days. He won't be training hundreds of horses or anything like that. He wants to try to maintain some sort of boutique stable. He'll train from his property down there at Belgrave and have a few horses sort of on course at Pakenham as well. And we'll see how that works out. But you don't forget, guys, that he, ever since he sort of walked away from training after the Cobalt affair and everything like that, he still owns or part owns dozens of racehorses, several trainers throughout the country. And he sort of just figured, well, it might be easy to do it myself and stop paying training fees. So it'll be good to see him back, guys. He's a character. He's a great horseman. I'm sure he's going to have success in his training venture when he resumes his career in the next few months. And I look forward to seeing it.
Castlevecchia, back at the trials.
Yeah, he is, Laurie. It's been interesting to see. He's back at the trials this morning at Rose Hill, so we'll see how he comes up. It's a pretty decent trial there this morning as well with Avilius and Bivouac through the trial of Cascadian for Godolphin too, so it's a nice trial to watch out for. I think Richard Lee, obviously he was ecstatic with the horse's effort in the Cox Plate there last year, but having seen what Lee Grafier did in the Arena Kinnan at a subsequent start, he must be looking into this to see what Castlevecchia can do this preparation. I think he's planning to start him at this stage in the Hobartville Stakes against his sort of own age as three-year-olds. And I don't think he'll be that competitive over 1,400 metres. I think getting to the mile at the Randwick Guineas might seem a little bit better, but I think the Rose Hill Guineas will come right into his own. And then they've got a decision to make whether they go to the Derby, press on to the 2,400 metres, or just getting ready for the Queen Elizabeth Stakes with the wait for age. So I'd assume they'd want to go to the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, but he's a horse to watch this campaign, obviously.
Now, we've got a market open for the Expressway Stakes. Yesterday, 2:30 already into even money, Elise.
Yeah, it's only small nominations at this stage, Dave. So, she's only one of seven. The nominations are extended a little bit later today. We know how dynamic she can be fresh in her campaign. She usually races well first and second up. It just looks the right race for here on the weekend. A couple of those other horses resuming probably going to need a little bit further, I'd imagine, later in their campaign. So I'm interested to see what they do with her after this race this weekend, because James is sort of talking about trying to get her ready for the All-Star Mile again. She ran well in that race again last year, running third. But the problem he's got at the moment is she does nowhere near enough votes to get into the top 10 from the public vote. So she's going to have to force her way into the field to some extent by winning a couple of lead-up races, you'd think. So I think this race is there for hers for the taking on the weekend, this Expressway Stakes. But I don't know where they're going to go after that.
What about Damien Lane? Looks as though he secured a ride on a pretty good three-year-old.
Yeah, he's got Catalyst, Laurie, the New Zealand horse who was very, very good on Karaka Million Night over there in New Zealand there on the weekend. I don't know about you guys. I think we've got a lot of really top-line New Zealand horses at the moment who are coming over to Australia. Obviously, we had Melody Bell and Tiakau Shark last year who were really good in the Melbourne Spring. And then Catalyst looks like the boom horse out of New Zealand at the moment for a three-year-old. And he's going to be over here in Australia for an Australian Guineas/potentially All-Star Mile campaign. So I can't wait to see these horses take on Alligator Blood and Australian Guineas. That's a mouth-watering clash if they both manage to make it to that race in a few weeks' time. And then I think Clayton Chipperfield wants to sort of target the All-Star Mile. And judging by the votes at this stage, he's just got enough votes to sneak into the top 10. Obviously, things will change in the next few weeks, but you think he's probably going to be worthy of a wild card anyway.
All right. And in regards to a Catalyst as well, Frosty Lane, that's a big booking, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the connections just said nothing against Troy Harris has been riding him over there in New Zealand, but they just wanted someone with a bit of local knowledge that knew the tracks down there in Melbourne, knew the other jockeys, probably knew the horses he's going to be riding against. And and that's Damian Lane. With the success he's had over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, he's a go-to man now. It's as simple as that. He can pick up these nice horses from overseas, whether they're Japan or New Zealand, and get on them. That's just the evolution of his career in the last sort of couple of years, and he probably deserves the ride too.
Mate, I've got a bit of breaking news for you, which has just filtered through to me. I've got a text here from Jack Smith, who's the trainer. You would have heard us talk about Feral Frankie on this program. And, of course, being the Feral from Forbes, he's been retired. Feral Frankie has been retired from racing. He's got no issue or no injury. He's just been retired. He's done his job for Connections, and he will now be standing at stud. So Feral Frankie, who was my favourite greyhound, and I'm sure a lot of others, has just been retired. So there's a bit of news just to float through. So, dear, we made
terrible news.
Oh, yeah, it's sad. Sad news.
You've been on the payroll there, haven't you, Dave, surely?
No, I wish I was. No, look, it just was one of those animals, runners, that you have a bet on that just was doing amazing things, and it was good to see so many people that aren't so much greyhound enthusiasts knowing
jump on board.
They just know it. They know the name, Feral Frankie. So there you go, Feral Frankie retired. We'll have more of that after the news, mate. We appreciate you this morning, Adam, and we look forward to talking to you tomorrow, mate.
Thanks, boys. We'll catch you in the morning.